Got a lot to study yet. You know, every time I seem to get here, and now next Sunday afternoon, Tim is going to be speaking, and so I've got to be very careful to take that in mind as I prepare my lesson. You know, we get habits, and before I started preaching here, I didn't give everybody an outline. And so it was really simple. If I only got a fourth of the way through my outline, I'd just finish it. And nobody knew the difference. But now, after dealing with Rick Jones for several years, I don't dare leave a verse out because he would tell me about it. We're looking about Mary. You know, when I look at Mary, I've enjoyed this study, actually, because I've learned a lot. It's taught me about some things that I probably never really gave thought in that perspective. Some of the things that it's taught me, I've looked at them, but I really never sat and looked at it more and put the thoughts together as I have as this lesson has come together. And so it's been an enjoyable study. And I'll be honest with you, that part that we talked about this morning, I knew that was a problem. But until you really come in and you put those scriptures into place, I don't think we really appreciate what she did. I don't think we really appreciate what Joseph did. You know, can you imagine how you would feel if your spouse cheated on you? You'd want to die. I mean, I can't imagine such a feeling. And of course, Joseph has some divine intervention, okay? And so he's willing to just let it go instead of having her stoned. And so, you know, there's just a lot that went into this in the background that we've got to kind of look at the clues within the scriptures to realize the emotion that had to be going on at this time. This was big in the life of Mary and Joseph. This was major earth-shattering. And I know that God, as He planned these things, He fully had this in mind when He laid down the guidelines of how Christ was to come into the world. As He delivered the old law to Moses and he gave those commands to Moses, he understood the implications in the light of Mary and Joseph and Jesus. He understood what Jesus would have to put up with all His life because of what took place. And actually, in this case, what didn't take place, but that was thought to have taken place. And so there's just a lot there that I really think that we need to give them some credit for the good that they had done. Back in Luke chapter 1, I want to move on to another thing. And this is dealing with the fact that Mary was blessed among women. There's a lot of things within the scripture that a lot of times have been kind of blown out of proportion and taken to extents that as I look at them, I believe that it's different. And it's kind of interesting to look at this passage and look at Mary's response to it. And look at the things that surround it. And I think it will help us to understand a little bit about this particular instance. And so let me back up just a little bit. I want to go to verse 24 and start from there. And after these days, or those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." Now, Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist. And her husband received a message from the angel that Elizabeth's going to have a baby. She's old. She's up in years. And she's lived barren without children. She's saying, "God's going to take away my reproach." So she withdrew from society for a period of 5 months because of this. And then verse 25, it says, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." And in the 6th month, that's after this thing with Elizabeth and John the Baptist. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored with the The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And so as we look at this passage, it's kind of interesting to notice that Mary was blessed among women. You know, as I look at the Bible, and I look at all of the people like Abraham, I look at Moses, I look at Noah, I look at Methuselah, I look at John the Baptist and King David and all of these great people of history. Have you ever really thought about the fact that God recorded part of their life in the Bible? I think of the woman, the other Mary, that anointed the feet of Jesus. And he said, wherever this gospel is preached, what she has done will be told about her. Wouldn't it be neat to be one of those that God used as an example for you and I? And for that to be the thing that we had done to be some good deed. Now, we think of Nebuchadnezzar, you know, and the problems that he, and the things that he did. We think about all of these other people and some of the bad things they did, and they're remembered. I wouldn't want to be remembered that way. Anybody want that? Okay. I want to be remembered for some great thing or good thing that I've done. And so, and this is where Mary is. And the Lord or the angel Gabriel is saying, look, you're blessed among women. You're highly favored with God. Now, it's interesting to look at Mary's response. Read verse 29 with me. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his sayings. I mean, can you imagine a divine being coming to you and say, you're highly favored with God. You're blessed. And you're thinking, whoa, you're confused. Right? I mean, that's the first thing we'd think. You know, well, there's some people that might say, oh, yeah, I'm right. That's right. That's right. That's me. But, you know, that's not Mary. She's troubled at these things. She's wondering that. And she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. You know, as I look at this that has been written about Mary, she couldn't understand what he was talking about. She's just that cute little filly that is about to get married to this man. That's all she is. And she's saying, I'm not good. Because in her mind, you know, when somebody tells you how good you are, you're thinking, okay, but I remember when I did this. And I remember when I did that. And you're thinking, I got you fooled. Okay. And so, and Mary knew that she was a human being just like you and me. And she's troubled. She's, what's the deal here? I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense to me. And it seems as though that Mary really was struggling with that because of her humble spirit. What kind of a spirit do you have? Everything that's written here, it's written for you and me. Mary, I believe, was a very humble person. I don't think God would have chose her if she was not a humble person. This kind of thinking with Mary, which is thinking, Gabriel, you're confused. Okay, I'm just little Mary. I don't have it together. That shows her humility. Guys, that's the way you and I need to be. You know, praise, it's really a wonderful thing. And I want to encourage you guys, let's praise each other. Pick out some little good thing about each one and try to give some praise. And do it on a regular basis. I think it's so very important because all of us need a little ego boost once in a while. But don't let that praise go to your head.
Okay? Because me and you are in the same boat. Okay? It's rocky. It's wavy. And we got our own issues. Now we need that ego booster. Let's make sure we give it. Okay?
And let's be like Mary, to humbly look and make a humble estimation of ourselves. And keep these things in perspective. Now, the thing is, this woman was blessed among women. Well, now just stop and think about it for just a minute. Imagine that you lived about 4 BC. You were of marrying age. And the angel spoke to you and said, you're going to bear the Messiah. None of you will get that opportunity. Never will. Mary was the only one. No other woman on the face of this earth that ever has lived or ever will live will be blessed with that opportunity. And quite frankly, I think as we look at some of the struggles that she went through, I think if we really stopped and thought about it, I don't know if we'd want to. I wouldn't want to put myself in her place in the struggles that she had. And look at the burden. Can you imagine the burden of having the Messiah running around and you're responsible? You do it right, or there's trouble. That'd be a big burden to carry. But you see, Mary was a woman that was blessed among women because she got to bear the Lord. And guys, and that's what we need to understand. She is a great woman. She did have that great privilege. And nobody else will. No other woman on the face of the earth ever has or ever will have that privilege. Mary was the only one that was able to do that. But I want to drop down to verse 38. Now here again, and I've alluded to this earlier today, in verse 38, and Mary, she speaks to this angel and said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Okay, you know, put yourself in her place. She's a virgin. She was told by an angel, you're going to have a baby. I don't know a man. Thinking, look, this would get me in big trouble. I'll get stoned. But instead of offering resistance, she says, let whatever happen to me, as you say. I can't imagine. Okay? But she's willing to do it. She's willing to give in. You know, and I think of that humble spirit and that desire to give in to the will of God, and she just willingly says, be it unto me whatever you say. What do you think? Think about the last time you struggled with something that God teaches that you need to do. Guys, I look at this Mary, and I look at her willingness, And I look at my own struggles and the things that I don't like to give into, and I'm thinking, where do I stand? You know? I really think part of the reason that she was blessed among women was because she was a good example. Just give in to God. How hard is it to give in to God? You know, I don't want to do that because then I got to admit that I made a mistake. You know? Now we're going to get into women issues and men issues. I don't want to single out the women because there are some men, I've met a few, that have troubles with that. But anyway, let's get off of that. Okay, so, but Mary willingly gave in, guys, and she did what she should. And you and I need to learn these things from her. Now, this next thing that I want to look at, it's one of those things that I've looked at over the years, And every time I read across these passages, these things come to mind. I want to go to Luke 2 and verse 51. Now, in this particular part, Joseph and Mary had been looking for Jesus for 3 days. He's 12 years old, and he's lost. Now, at Jerusalem, at this particular feast, there would have been probably hundreds of thousands of people. And they were still crying. Okay? You know, this woman that was, they tried to abduct over at the game store, whatever it was, GameStop. She would have very likely been sold as a slave if they had successfully done that. Well, you know, the slave trade was prolific in Jesus' day. He'd been gone 3 days. And Mary still remembers Gabriel saying, "You're highly favored of the Lord." And she's thinking, "I blew it. I've lost him. I don't know where he's at." She's freaking out. But she finds him. He's in the temple, and Jesus is saying, "What do you mean you're looking for me? Didn't you know I'd be here? Learning about God and studying His Word?" Young people, I want you to stop and think. You know how old he was?
12.
Thank you. And let me ask you another thing here, Vincent. Do you think that when he was your age, he was still trying to learn?
Yep.
Thank you. Leanne, how about your age? You think he was trying to learn? Vincent?
What?
Your turn. You think he was trying to learn at your age? Mm-hmm. Pipsqueak? How old are you now, Pipsqueak?
14.
14. 2 years after your, before your age, he was seeking out opportunities to sit at the feet of the religious leaders that knew the law. You think he was at 14? Still seeking?
I think he was 16.
John, you're 17? How much do you think Jesus knew? How do you determine Jesus was to serve God by 17?
Without a doubt, I'm sure he was trying his best.
Without a doubt.
He was doing his best.
Trying and doing, yeah, yeah. Think about Jesus, he didn't make a mistake. Now, me and you, we don't do the same. Trent, you're 16, 17. You just incriminated yourself. If you're old enough.
Oh, I'm just 16.
16 and three quarters.
My birthday is in like 5 months.
When you get to my age, you don't push it. Guys, this is the point. You young people, you really need to be thinking about this. Jesus, at the age of 12, was diligently striving to learn God's Word. And as John said, he's trying to follow it. Appreciate that, John. It's a good comment. And doing it. I want to encourage you guys. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Those of us that are older will tell you about the evil days. Kenneth has a hard time getting here. But he's coming, aren't you, Kenneth? Those are the evil days. Do you hear as good as you used to, Kenneth? No.
Hard to hear at all.
You got helpers. That's good. Do your eyes, they work as good as they used to? When the keepers are shut? Now, when you're young, you think you got all your life, but we know better, don't we, Brenda? Time's running out. And at our age, we look back and we've got a lot of regrets. Young people, I dare say, you really need to learn from those of us that are older. Don't get to our age and have all those regrets. I beg of you. Jesus was diligent as a young age to try to live for God. We've got some baggage when we get older. And these years right now, when you're in your teen and you're ready to spread your wings and get out on your own, you're about to make some of the biggest good things or bad things of your life. I want you to be like Jesus. Please. I want you to have a good life. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help you to have a good life. And it's following Jesus that'll give you a good life. And you won't get to my age and look back and see all the mistakes that you made and beat yourself up because you made them. Now, we can get to that point and turn our back towards God or turn our face towards God and come back. But I've got news for you. If you wait that long, there's very little chance you will turn to God. Very little. So seek God now while you're young and the senses don't get dulled. As Mary thinks about this, finding Jesus, and Jesus willingly went with them and submitted to them, in verse 51 it says, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them." But now watch, this is the phrase that I want to hold on. "But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." I've looked at this so much over the years. And the older I get, the more I look back in my past and I see God working. Now, I can't tell you about today, okay? Because I don't know what tomorrow holds. But Mary, as she saw these different things coming into her life, can you imagine looking for Jesus for 3 days, thinking that he's sold as a slave, or killed, or laying in a ditch somewhere. And then she finds him, and he's trying to learn about God. And can you imagine what you would hold in your heart with such a knowledge? And seeing the hand of God work, and the good things take place, and all of these things come about. And so Mary is no doubt overwhelmed, and she dwells on these things. Guys, I want you to look at your life. You know how many times people have obeyed the gospel and told me that, you know, I look at the things that have led me to here, and it's just hard to imagine. Guys, I believe we're here for such a day as this. And I think we need to take that seriously. We need to thank God, and we need to make sure that we go forward and give it all that we've got. Give God your life. Give him your heart. Give him everything that you possess, and you will never regret it. You will be able to have joy in the future. I know that there were some difficult things in Mary's life that she would hold in her heart for years to come, for the rest of her life. But the thing is, she was following God, and God was leading. And you need to recognize that God will lead you in your life. You just need to allow him to do that and allow God's plan to unfold in your life. But don't make mistakes. Work real hard to not do that. In Luke chapter 2, verses 22, and we'll look at this. And these, I think, are very likely some other things that were very, no doubt, weighing down on her. And so when Jesus was 8 days old, they were taking him to the temple to be circumcised according to the law. And it says, "And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as is written of the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Think about that. Mary's watching this unfold. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Can you imagine? And Mary seeing this man come in and says, this is him. The Lord told me it was coming, and it backs up everything that she'd seen, everything she had heard, and all of these things that were so foreign. And then in verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. And she was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years old, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all these things according to the law, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Can you imagine? These were things that Mary had to ponder as she was raising him to be a man. I don't know that I can do that thought justice. But as I look back on my life, I can see God's hand. I couldn't at the time. You and I need to take these things to heart and allow God to lead. But that requires effort on our part, and it requires obedience. Give in to God every day and put him first. You know, as we look at these things, I want to go to the passage in John 19:25. This is at the crucifixion of Jesus. And Mary was there. About 33, almost 34 years after the angel Gabriel had spoke to her. It says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Jesus is hanging on the cross to die. All the disciples have run away. But his mother's there. Guys, I just don't know if I could put myself in her place. Her son is hanging from the cross. You and I put him there. Does that matter? Does it matter? I don't know how much Mary knew and understood. Probably she recognized that she had sinned too. Who am I that I should do this? That I should have this opportunity to be blessed among women and be highly favored of the Lord, because she knew that she was human like the rest of us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, all but Jesus. Knowing that it was prophesied that a sword shall pierce her own spirit. Can you imagine knowing that in your heart and wondering what's coming? Because you're just like everybody else and you're thinking, you know, my son's going to be the king and Roman rule is going to be gone and he's going to sit on the throne of David. Well, he is sitting on the throne of David, but not like she thought. So many things to consider as Mary went through her life. You know, one of the things that I think we need to see about Mary is that when Jesus was born, that didn't end. But she had numerous other children. We do not know exactly how many. We do know that there were numerous. In Matthew 12 and verse 46, It says, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren, that's plural, stood without, desiring to speak with him. Now, we don't know much about some of these outside events that happened around Jesus. But obviously, his mother and his brethren were following him around. At some point, they were even deriding him, putting him down. The brethren were, not Mary. I don't think we ever see any inclination of that. I think she understood that he was the Messiah. But his family wanted to talk to him. Now, I want to look at something here because, guys, this is very important. Let's go just a little bit further into context. Then one said to him, behold, your mother and brethren stand without, desiring to speak with you. But Jesus answered and said to them and told him, who's my mother and my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my brother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Now, Jesus had numerous brothers and sisters. We do not know exactly how many. But if you're bought with the blood of Christ, here's family. If you've been buried with Christ in baptism for remission of your sins, you're brother and sister and mother. I look and compare oftentimes the physical family and the spiritual family. My family, you know, I chose at 17. I moved away and joined myself to my wife within a few months after that. And we made our life together. And everywhere I've lived, I've found my family. I've got wonderful family right here. I love you dearly. And honestly, I feel closer to you than I do my physical family. And actually, when we live for God, we get to be together forever. Not with any of these imperfections that we deal with here, you know, our weaknesses and our struggles, but we get to be in heaven with Jesus. And Mary's going to be there. Oh, Joseph is going to be there. I have no doubt that he will. I really believe that even though Jesus' brethren and family didn't believe in him, that they did later. I think we have good proof of that. I want to drop over to chapter 13 and verses 55 and verse 56. And I notice a little bit more about this family. It says, is not this the carpenter's son? They knew Joseph. Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. So we know that he had at least four brothers. And his sisters, more than one. Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man these things? They grew up with Jesus. They watched this snot-nosed kid grow up and become a man. You know why I didn't stay in Virginia and preach? Because I was that snot-nosed kid. Said, I'm not going to do it. I said, if Jesus couldn't do it, I know full well I can't. So we moved. They wanted me to stay. Front Royal, wasn't it? Strasburg. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. And I wouldn't do it because they didn't accept Jesus. Jesus had numerous family members. I want to go to a couple passages to look at this in John chapter 7, and verse 5, because it's very clear, I believe, that his family did not believe in him. And this passage brings it out. It says, "For neither did his brethren believe in him." Now you go back into him, the Jews were against him and they were giving him grief. And it makes a statement. Now this is early on in Jesus' ministry, and it shows that he wouldn't walk in certain places because the people were giving him grief. And it says his own family didn't believe in him. They didn't want anything to do with him, you know. And so his brothers didn't believe in him. But it seems as though as time went on, things changed. And so let's fast forward a little bit. Let's go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. In Acts chapter 1, we are at the time of history right after the crucifixion. Within about there was a span of 50 days from the time he rose from the dead. He ascended to the heaven at about 40 days, and here they are in the upper room. At 50 days, the Acts chapter 2 takes place. But in verse 14, I want you to notice who's in the upper room with the apostles. It says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Sometime between John chapter 7 and verse 5 and Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, Jesus' brethren changed their mind. Maybe they saw him raised from the dead. No doubt that they believed his mother that he had hung on the cross and died, but they changed. You know, I think about, back up just a couple of verses to chapter 21 of John, and 20 of John, and verse 29. It says, "Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Now just think about that for just a minute. Take this in. How many of you saw Jesus? Not a one. If you believe, what does Jesus say you are? Blessed. What was Mary? Blessed. You're on the same footing as Mary if you believe in Jesus. According to Jesus. You won't have the blessings that Mary had. You'll never have that blessing. They saw. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 19, and we're about out of time, and we're going to end here real quick. James chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, "But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother." Now, there's a couple different Jameses. Let's deal with this really quick. We believe, and this is, as we look at the writers of the book of James and the book of Jude, we believe that they are the Lord's brothers. Now, we don't get that because on the internal evidence it says that. We get that because the early church recorded that the brothers of Jesus, James and Jude, wrote those two books. So, even though we have very early first century recordings saying that they were the writers of those books, it's not like we have the internal evidence of the Bible. But I believe that it would be very accurate. And so the Apostle Paul is saying that when he went up to Jerusalem, he didn't see any of the other apostles, or let me say, he said, but other of the apostles he didn't see, other than James, the Lord's brother. So let's fast forward a little bit. Let's go to Acts chapter 15 and verse 13. Now we're going to have to put several together here to get the whole context. And so Acts chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, "And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken to me." This is James. Now, we see him again in chapter 21 and verse 18. Go with me there. It says, and the day following, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. Okay? Now, there was an apostle James. But let's backtrack several years to Acts chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, this is several years earlier, maybe as much as 20 or 30. We don't know exactly what the date would be. But in Acts chapter 12, it's a very early time in the church history. It says in verse 1 and 2, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now, it's not the brother of Jesus. James and John were apostles. And Herod killed the apostle James. In chapter 15, we have a different James, and that's the Lord's brother that we were introduced to earlier. And so that's not the apostle. And so Jesus had brethren. Now it seems like James, who became the, it seems probably one of the elders of the church in Jerusalem, was a prominent man in the church. And let's be careful of that. Because the New Testament never puts one above another. Now, even in elderships, if we look at what God designed the church to be led by elders with far as earthly decisions, physical decisions that don't affect truth, sometimes we have a personality. You ever notice this with people? You got one person that has a real strong personality. The two ladies that we saw at the coffee shop the other day, the one had a real strong personality and the other one was just kind of meek and went along, right? It was an interesting conversation. We're not going there. But at any rate, within the leaders in the Lord's church and members of the Lord's church, we have personalities. I understand I have a very strong personality. Help me to never get out of line. Please. I have no right. My only opportunity, my only responsibility is to teach the truth. I'm not a boss. I believe that James, very possibly the way it singles him out, may have had a strong personality that did not give him more authority than anybody else. Anytime anybody puts him as having more authority, we're getting out of the realm of what the New Testament says. He just had the strong personality. He was the spokesman like that one woman at the coffee shop. Okay? She was the one that had the... I'll be careful how I say this. The bigger voice. And so, at any rate... So anyway, so Jesus had brothers and sisters. In Acts or John chapter 19, we go back again to the cross and we see that context where Mary was at the cross. Guys, I'm sure as she was at the cross that she looked back in her life and she went across all of those things that she laid up in her heart. She probably thought on the angel Gabriel. She probably thought on the struggles that her and Joseph went through as Joseph is hearing this news and he's just devastated because his wife, he thought, had cheated on him. And then the angel says, Joseph, it's okay. This is from God. Let it happen. And then as the shepherds come into the manger, into the stable to worship Jesus, and as the wise men bear gifts, wealthy gifts to present to Jesus when they come into the house. As they flee to Egypt to get rid of Herod's or get away from Herod's jurisdiction so they could save Jesus from being killed. As they came back to Jerusalem and were afraid to go there because of who was ruling then. As Jesus was growing up and being lost at the temple. At the marriage of Cana in John chapter 3, when Mary says to the people there, just do what he tells you and be quiet. She believed in him. as Mary and the brethren struggled with this, can you imagine Mary's heart broke when the rest of the family are saying, Mary, you're crazy, mama. Don't pay no attention to him. He just thinks he's a favored kid, okay? Just because he always obeyed doesn't mean he's any better than we are. You ever heard that? Teenagers didn't laugh. Only the adults. That's not those kids. I'm so sick and tired of him. He always did what you said. You all just loved him more. Anyway. I'm sure as Mary sat at the foot of Jesus' cross, she thought about all these things that were in her heart. And it became clear that God had always been working. Guys, there's a lot of examples that we can see in Mary. Let's pick out the things that we need to apply to our life. And let's live for God. Let's give it all to God. Let's remember the Jesus of the New Testament, from the cradle to the grave. Let's remember that the New Testament is his message. And if we love the child, we need to love the man. If we love the man, we need to love the king. And if we truly love the king and the man and the child, we're doing what he says. We're doing what he says. Do you love him? If anybody needs to respond to the invitation, do it now while we stand and sing.